There's a British rock band known for their flute and somewhat madrigal sound. They're named Jethro Tull. Have you heard of Jethro Tull? They're known for their flute music and incredible. It's like they're from right out of the Middle Ages, the way they dress and so on. Ian Anderson, who was their leader and their writer and the flute player, he wrote a song that I think many here today might be able to resonate with. It's called Too Old to Rock and Roll and Too Young to Die. When I hear that song, I often think things like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Or even to ask myself, am I too old to do this or that? Have you been there? Have you ever been there? You get up in the morning and the aches are there, the pains are there, and you just can't do what you used to do? You might also ask yourself, is it worth it? Well, case in point, some people have asked me, as they enter the last days or even hours, sometimes minutes of their lives, is it too late to repair a relationship? Is it too late to even accept or repair a relationship with our Savior Jesus? Well, I've got to tell you that what immediately comes to mind is this parable from our Lord, in which Jesus relates the kingdom of heaven to the owner of a vineyard. Stay with me. Jesus tells of a man who hires a crew to come and work in his vineyard, and he even promises to pay them a denarius for a day's work, which was the fair going rate for a day's work. 3 hours later, around 9 a.m., he heads back out and sees some men who were standing around, not doing anything, and he makes them an offer that if they will come and work for him, then he will pay them what is right. Notice, that was the only promise that he made. The landowner went back out around noon, and then again around 3 p.m., made the same offer for workers to come work for him. What is right was what would be paid. And then around the 11th hour, which was 5 p.m., he found some other men standing around. This last group of workers was hired when only 1 hour of the workday was left. So I've got to ask you, why had they not been seen or hired before this point? The vineyard owner asked them point blank, why have they not been working? Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? That's Matthew chapter 20, verse 6. Their answer is quite revealing, as they tell him, because no one has hired us. They very well might have been the kind of people that may have appeared undesirable. But this landowner went ahead and hired them anyway and paid them the same as the people who had been slaving all day in the heat of the sun. And just like so many of Jesus' parables, the landowner obviously represents Almighty God, and the workers were the people. Now, our Lord may have intended this parable to not only being a teaching moment, but a warning to his disciples about their own attitudes. When Jesus said at the end of chapter 19 that many who were first will be last and many who are last will be first, I think he was referring to those at the front of the pack, maybe the wealthy and the powerful, and those at the back meant the disciples themselves. I think Jesus was also answering something Peter said. Peter asked a pretty self-centered question, saying, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Matthew 19, verse 27. In essence, Peter's asking, what's in it for us? Isn't it true that a lot of people ask that question? And we may even have been there ourselves at some point. It's possible that Jesus was warning the disciples to try, that they can't bargain with God. His grace is something that cannot be bargained with, or even try to store up. And it's not the kind of thing that one person can have a lot of and someone else only a little of. One way of looking at this parable is what people get from serving God and His kingdom. It's not a paycheck at all, and not a reward for your works. I've said it before, and I will say it again. You can't earn your way to heaven. There's no way to earn your way to heaven. Now, please understand, I don't believe that God makes deals with us as if we could bargain or negotiate for a better deal. God makes covenants in which He promises us everything and expects everything from us in return. He promises us everything. And you know what? God keeps His promises. He's not rewarding us for effort, but doing what comes naturally. Remember, I mentioned what Jonah said about the character of Almighty God, where he said, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. That's the same character that Jesus is talking about here. He is not rewarding something that we've done. He's not doing anything like that, but showing us His absolutely loving and overflowing generous nature. He does this knowingly, especially since Jesus took on flesh, that we are frail humans, and we usually cannot, and no matter how hard we try, will not be able to keep our part of the covenant. It happened with the covenants with Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David, and even with the new covenant that Jesus made with us. The important thing to remember is that God is faithful. And no matter what it is that we do, He will always be faithfully keeping His part of the covenant, as He has done from the beginning of time. Another point that we can take from this parable is that God is out amongst us in the world. He's not sitting on up high, waiting for us to mess up, looking down and ready to bop us on the head. That's not who God is. No, He's always faithfully keeping His part of the covenant. He's looking for people, everybody that He wants to come to Him. The invitation is not limited. People try to ignore God's invitation. He's looking. He's out amongst us, looking for people that everybody else tries to ignore. Those last group of people that the vineyard owner hired were the least desirable, I think. But He welcomes them on the same terms, surprising them and everybody else with His generous grace. It's so important for us to remember that God's invitation from John 3:16 is always there for the world to accept. Not just two or three of us, or not just one people group, but for the world to accept. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And it goes on from there. Don't just shut it off at 3:16. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. John 3:16-18. Like accepting the invitation from the owner of the vineyard, the landowner, to come and be a part of His vineyard, no matter what time you accept, the key, my dear friends, is accepting. It doesn't matter if it's 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. or noon or 3 p.m. or 5. The key is that you accept, or in this case, believe. Listen to this phrase. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The key is to believe. Verse 17 tells us Jesus came for one purpose, to save the world. Not just Israel, not just Georgia, not just the United States, but the world, the entire world. It is so important that we understand that we have to say yes. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's so important for us to notice that in all three verses, there's nothing that says when you have to believe. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, but believing in Jesus will change your life forever and for all eternity. Accepting Jesus as Lord brings forgiveness for all of your sins, not just a few of them, because you will want to seek his forgiveness, and he will willingly give it to you. Like the workers in the vineyard, it does not matter when in your life that you say yes and accept Jesus' invitation, but the important thing is that you get on board and you say, yes, Lord. As a priest and a pastor, I have been extremely fortunate to be a witness when people accept Jesus. Sometimes it's in my office. Sometimes it's here in church. Sometimes it's the final days or moments of their lives. Some of these people have led questionable lives, but found Jesus, or should I say Jesus found them, and their lives and their hearts changed completely. I've been with them as they passed into eternity and knew that they were going to meet their Savior with an indescribable peace. You need to know this. No matter how old you are, truly knowing Jesus and believing in him will bring you to eternal life in him. God keeps his promises. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Believing in Jesus will change your life. But Father John, you just said that. You can't say this enough to let people know the importance of it. He will change your life. Doesn't matter if it's in the early part of your life. Some people can't remember when they first accepted Jesus. They've just known him all their lives. And some people can tell you the exact moment in their life when all of a sudden their life changed. They became richer inwardly. And they walked with Jesus ever since then. Maybe it was the 11th hour. Doesn't matter. No one's keeping score except God. And he welcomes you to an eternity with him. Like the workers in the vineyard, God's invitation is real. The last will be first, and the first will be last. What it all boils down to is that you say yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.